Yeah, my sermonette today has the title A Distracted World, and this is the first of two parts, A Distracted World. And the time of my calling, it was very exciting for me, virtually my first contact with a concept that is that there is an almighty God. It was fascinating. It opened up indescribably new ways of explaining the circumstances of this world to me, but of course many new questions arose as well. One of the most interesting points I found out was that there was an adversary, Satan the devil, and this took a more active part in the story than I would ever have dreamed of before. And since then, I have often asked myself, how it was possible to trap so many people in different belief constructs. How could people be compelled to follow one central idea? How it was possible for a few individuals to make many others dance to their tune? And how it is even possible in human terms to move masses of people in one direction? I've often asked myself these questions in various ways. The more I researched, the more often I had to admit that I too had fallen victim to the distractions of this world. And it was up to God alone to open our eyes to the obvious, namely that we have to live according to His commandments. And on the other hand, I also had to realize that there are also fundamental approaches that ensure that the masses of people are controlled and held captive. I was interested in how it is made difficult for people to free themselves from the currents according to worldly understanding. Why do people join together and have a thought that makes them work centrally towards a goal? What mechanisms ensure that they succumb to belief? Distractions and diversions. This is the key tool to ensure that we lose sight of the truth. These tools are used for negative purposes and for the purpose of control. We are being distracted from the essentials on so many levels. Yes, many empires and governments throughout the history have used various forms of mass manipulation to create stability. Since man has repeatedly elected kings and leaders over the centuries, they have repeatedly used ever-evolving strategies and tactics to manipulate masses into obedience and distraction to ensure their security of power. This can be done through propaganda, control of information, ritualization or idealization, or the promotion of national and ethnic identities. The best known examples from the modern era are the Roman Empire. The Roman government used propaganda to glorify empire's achievements and to promote loyalty among its citizens. Depictions of victories in art and theater helped to convey the image of a strong and superior civilization. Also, Germany in the 1930s and 1940s, the regime under Adolf Hitler used extensive propaganda to spread the ideology of National Socialism. This also included the control of the media, schools, and even the arts to create homogeneous National Socialist identity. The Soviet Union government used extensive propaganda to promote communist ideology and bind the population to the party, or the Ottoman Empire. Here, various ethnic and religious groups were deliberately promoted and manipulated in order to create a balance between the different parts of the population to prevent uprisings. And even here in the US, examples of mass manipulation also can be found in the United States, particularly in the context of war propaganda. such as during the First World War or the Second World War, where the government selectively disseminated information to mobilize and influence public opinion, and the United States was also a country to use mass manipulation. These early historical examples show that mass manipulation was a widespread popular tool among rulers and was often successfully used to secure control over an empire or a government. They probably use certain techniques to maintain the upper hand. If the rulers were to act aimlessly and without any knowledge of the right techniques, chaos would reign in the meadows and the masses of people would be scattered like sheep in all the directions. So what do you think? Do such concepts still work today in our modern age? We are so open-minded and educated. Learning from the historical lessons that could never happen to us again, or could it, maybe? Can a few manipulate the masses without even knowing and realizing them? And above all, are there any concrete examples of this? So let's explore this a little. Let's have a look, or a more detailed look, on the person named Avram Noam Chomsky, with an overview of his views of mass manipulation. Chomsky, he was born in December 1928, and he is an American linguist, philosopher, social critic, and a political activist, who is one of the most influential thinkers of the 20th and 21st century. He is widely known for his contributions to linguistics, particularly to the development of transformational grammar, which revolutionized how language and its structure are understood. Particularly relevant are his views on mass manipulation. And now here's some examples for mass manipulation and the role of media. Chomsky argues that modern societies are affected by mass manipulation, which is made possible by controlling the flow of information and the media landscape. In his opinion, the media are not just passive transmitters of information, but active participants in the process of opinion forming. The manipulation occurs through various mechanisms, from the selective reporting to distorting or ignoring certain topics that may not be in the interest of the ruling elites. Likewise, the modern music industry also should be assigned to this opinion forming apparatus. In his influential book, Manufacturing Consent, the political economy of the mass media is also co-authored with Edward S. Herman. Chomsky, he describes a model that is called the propaganda model. And this model outlines how news and information in the mass media is filtered through a variety of factors, including advertising revenue, ownership, and political interests. Chomsky and Herman argue that these factors mean that the media are essentially an instrument of the powerful designed to shape, and this is very impossible, it's designed to shape public consciousness in a direction that aligns with the interests of the elites. He identifies several strategies of manipulation used by the governments and corporations to control public opinion. One is disinformation and the control of narratives. Targeted disinformation and the controlling narratives are used to strongly influence people's perceptions of events and issues. Governments and institutions use media reports to present their point of view, while alternative perspectives are often suppressed and marginalized. Recent narratives we see, for example, take the form of the Green Cultural Revolution in the fight against man-made climate change, promoted by figureheads as such as Greta Thunberg. A current strategic method is to redirect attention towards a different direction. So every magician and mentalist, shell game player and pickpocket uses it, the practice to draw attention to something irrelevant, so everything relevant remains undetected to keep the minds of the audience busy so they don't start thinking. Yeah. If, for example, we turn our attention to Europe after COVID-19 crisis, after COVID-19 crisis lost some of its momentum at the beginning of 2022, the Ukrainian conflict was the perfect substitute to fill the headlines. This then developed into the so-called gas crisis there, which once again kept our brains busy and supplied them with a lot of fear and information. The best distractions are invisible to the brain. We've known that at least since 2020. Therefore, from May 2022, it was time for the most entertaining distraction in the years. It's called the monkeypox. Here are just a few headlines from our newspapers there. Four new cases of monkeypox in humans have been identified in the UK. Another one is that the first case of monkeypox virus has occurred in Germany. So, before answering any questions that are essential, media is causing panic. Why not consciously ask important questions first, as for whom are they dangerous? And do we even have to get vaccinated? Or, of course, can this spark a new pandemic? Furthermore, this also is part of a disinformation strategy. Create problems, provide solutions. Like the classic example, shopkeeper doesn't want to pay attention, want to pay protection money, so that his shop is trashed. Send in a few bad gangsters and create a desire for protection and offer this as a solution in return for payment. Or maybe you know this example from the US. Open the barriers and let the demonstrators storm the government buildings. It's best to have informants there too, who act as ringleaders and thus make a movement more likely. The problem is the radical demonstrators. The solution is to fight it, for which there is a reason now. Distraction is a central instrument of mass manipulation. The goal is to distract the public from important issues, bringing irrelevant or entertaining information into the foreground. Chomsky emphasizes that reporting on scandals and sensational news often distracts from pressing social and political issues. The important question very often remained unanswered. And answer the question yourself: how much unnecessary information a person absorbs in our daily digital age? We know from psychological experiments that humans can process about 11 to 60 bits per second of information. In fact, however, an average of 11 million bits per second are flooding in our brain today due to digitalization. If we can consciously process so little, that is 11 to 60 bits per second, what does our brain consciously absorb? Hopefully, what is important. Or what do you think? If your brain is bombarded with a lot of outstanding, interesting, attractive information, and you don't have the ability to counter the irrelevant distractors, your mind will resign itself to its fate and then use the information to simply indulge in it. The conscious part of the mind collapses, and the unconscious part of the mind is simply flooded. And what happens then is quite interesting. We become slaves to stimuli. Overstimulation has become an epidemic today. Nowadays, in our digital abundance, we can hardly escape the subliminal influences of various information. It requires constant conscious control and decision-making as to which media to expose ourselves to and for how long. Our minds are not designed to consciously absorb such a flood of information in such a short time. In John 15, Jesus explains the danger of distraction differently. There he teaches his disciples that everyone who abides in him can bear much fruit. In these farewell discourses in John 14-16, we learn that those who abide in Jesus, who remain in Christ and focus their attention on him, can do all things. They can do all things. But Christ also has something to say to those who give themselves over to distraction. So turn with me to Revelation 3, and we start reading in verse 14. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 20. And here Christ says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works and that you are neither cold or hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and then neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Also turn to 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. We should have the Philadelphian spirit, but let us nevertheless be aware of the dangers of the Laodicean attitude. It could always spill over to influence of this world. And in 1 Timothy 4, it said, verse 16, it said, "Take heed to yourself, to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." It's a very interesting statement. You will save both yourself and those who hear you. And as long as we take care of the right mindset and act accordingly, we can have the assurance that God will guide us safely through this confused world. We all need to apply Bible-based discernment in our lives and determine who or what supports us in our faith journey and what or who does not.